Is that your prayer tonight? Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 85. Thank you, choir. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, youth, for leading us in worship. Psalm 85, a familiar scripture heading into revival. We're talking about prayer again, but we're going to pray for revival and believing the Lord is going to send revival. So Psalm 85, verse number 1, if you found it, say amen. Let's read that together for the first 6 verses. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land, and thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Praise the Lord. You may be seated tonight. Wilt thou not revive us again? We're going to make that our prayer. Revive us again. Revive us again. This psalm begins with a telling of what the Lord has done. It's a conversation between the author and Jehovah. The writer is reminiscing or praising or reflecting on just what the Lord has been doing on behalf of his people. Let me rehearse that to you. We've already read it. But he said, you've been favorable to us and to our land. You've brought us out of captivity. You have forgiven our iniquity. You've covered all of our sin. You've turned your wrath and anger away from us. And you've shown us mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for all of those things God has done for his people. But then in verse 4, we find some requests that are being made to Jehovah. And he says, turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Notice there, he asked the Lord to turn them. Our attempts to repent and turn away from things that entangle us have been futile, is what he's saying. And Lord, we need your help to turn us, praise God, away from those things that draw us away from you. How many of you know there are times it is difficult to turn away from the things that have divided you or separated you from the Lord? Thank God for his grace, amen, where he can turn us, hallelujah, back towards the right direction. But the questions of verse 5 seem to be more of a long-term assessment. He's already said, Lord, your mercy and grace has overwhelmed us. You've covered our sin. You have been favorable to us. You've taken your wrath and the fierceness of your anger away from us. But he still has this question. Lord, right now, your anger is satisfied. This is a paraphrase, if you'll allow me to do that this evening. But right now your anger is satisfied, but we know our tendencies to go away and walk away, and we long for your help to escape the plight of our own failures and our own backslidings. And Lord, if you don't turn us toward the right direction and give us the grace in this moment that we need, will we have your wrath and anger against us forever? That's a question that's very revealing. The author understands and knows that if this generation does not if the next generation was to turn away from Jehovah, they have to deal with judgment and they have to deal with strife at their own as their own consequence from their own decisions. And so the author, the sons of Korah, praise the Lord, they long for an escape. They long for an escape that's not just temporary, but they're looking for complete escape from judgment and wrath that results from their own backslidings. And that's where this cry comes in. Lord, will you not revive us again? Hallelujah. Lord, will you not revive us again? God, if we don't have revival, we are not going to make it. Lord, if we don't have revival of strength and purpose and encouragement and faith and hope, we don't like what's going to happen if we don't have revival. So Lord, give us revival. And as we come near to our week, we've set apart for winter revival and winter warm-up. I want that to be our cry this evening. And over the next few days, as you pray on your own, Lord, will you please revive us again? Hallelujah. God, will you please revive us again? I'm going to try to preach for about 15 more minutes, and then I want us to spend some time in prayer asking God to send revival, hallelujah, in a big way at Union Pentecost Church. But my first point I want you to notice about that cry tonight is this. We want revival because we've seen revival before. Hallelujah. Anybody ever seen revival before? Notice the cry there of the authors here. The sons of Korah are ascribed as the authors of Psalm 85. And we're going to talk about the sons of Korah in just a moment. But their cry is, Lord, revive us again. The author, the sons of Korah, have seen what happens when revival takes place. And their cry is, Lord, do it again. Praise God. Revival means to live again, to refresh, to be restored, to cause to grow. There's a new word in our culture that has seemingly been adopted as a less vulgar term. I don't understand why they've chosen to replace this word with another word, but they don't like to say that somebody was killed, so they say they were unalived. Has anybody heard that term? Instead of saying they were killed, they say they were unalived. Instead of saying they died or were murdered, they say they were unalived. I can think of 1,000 other things that are wrong with society that need to be changed, except for that word. Of all the things they picked, was unalived. Amen. Don't say killed. Let's call them unalived. And I don't really care for the word. It's not even a word. You type it into your text messages and it will change that word. It will. It'll change it because it doesn't recognize it as a word. And although I don't really care for it, it brought to my mind a term that we could create for revival. Praise the Lord. Realived. Amen. Realived. That's what it means. Revival means you've been brought back to life. You've been made alive again. Revival is a time of refreshing that we're told and promised that will come in the book of Acts, that shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's the kind of revival they had seen before, and that's the cry they're making for revival today. It's a time where things that seem dead or are dead, faith, hope, maybe even your spirit, revival is a time when all of those things can come alive again. It's a time where growth, hallelujah, arises out of what was at one point a place of ruin. Have you ever driven on the highway and seen on the road, out of maybe a concrete barrier, there came some sort of a tree or a plant or a dandelion or some type of a weed? It's crazy that something can grow where it's not supposed to grow. There's a lot of things in this world that want to stamp you down and say nothing can grow from your life, but revival says it can. Glory to God. Revival means there is growth. Listen, how can something good, hallelujah, come out of a place where there's drugs and alcohol? I'll tell you how. Revival, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How can something good come out of a life that's been abused and scarred and broken over and over and over again? Let me tell you how. Revival. Praise the Lord. And I've seen it happen 1,000 times. And I believe I'll see 1,000 more where God sends revival. And so we cry, revive us again. Secondly, we want revival because we've recognized we need revival. That's what they said. They wouldn't have cried for revival if they didn't recognize their need for revival. Revival, again, it means restoration. That means revival is restoration from something. Has anybody ever gotten caught up in those social media reels about restoration? Maybe somebody's restoring an old house or an old table, or maybe they're restoring, they find an old rug. You know, these things that they just are mesmerizing. They find a gigantic floor rug that's dirty and grimy, has junk all over it, and it's muddy and dirt. You don't even know what it looks like. But they take this rug and they put it in this gigantic room, and they start scrubbing that rug, and they put water on it and soap on it and other chemicals. And after a while, the restoration's complete, and you can see what was behind the dirt, a beautiful picture. That's what revival is. Praise the Lord. It's when the Lord comes by and shakes the dust, amen, off of some things in your life and begins the restoration process, not just dirt. I don't want you to get that picture. Oh, maybe there's sin. Yes, in revival, God can restore us from sin, right? God can give us restoration from bad decisions and all of those things. But that's what revival is. It's a recognition. God, not everything is right. We need some things to be made right again. Restore us. And in the moment of revival, restoration happens and everything is made right again. The cry for restoration and revival is from something. We want to be restored from something that is causing death within our lives. Something that is causing a part of us to die, or a part of our spirit to die, a part of our joy to die, or our hope to die. There's something that's causing that to happen, and we recognize it. So, Lord, we cry for revival, hallelujah, and restoration from those things. Starts with recognition. That's where revival starts. You got to recognize you need revival in your home, in your family, in your life. It happened during the reign of Hezekiah. He recognized in 2 Chronicles, you go to his story, and I believe chapters 28, 29, 30, and 31, you'll find the story of Hezekiah. He recognized that he and God's people were in need, a desperate need of revival. And so they recognized the need, and they started making room for revival. Praise the Lord. That's what you got to do, church, as this week comes. I know you got a busy schedule, and I know you got a lot of things to do, and I know it's cold and sickness is here. And don't get me wrong, if you're sick and you need to stay at home, I totally understand. And thank you for not spreading your germs. And everybody else says thank you. Praise the Lord. But if you can get here and you can shuffle some things around, make room for God to send revival in your life. Praise the Lord. Make room for revival. That's what they did. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second again. But recognition leads to some sort of reaction. When you recognize you need something, there's either going to be a reaction to that recognition, or there's going to be inaction. If you're hungry, you're going to either get up off of the couch to get something to eat, or you're going to sit there until you starve to death. Right? If you're hungry, you're going to get up. If you're thirsty, you're going to get up and get something to drink, or you're going to sit there and wait till somebody else gets up and you say, hey, can you go get me a drink of water? Praise the Lord. That's how it happens at my house anyways. But recognition, it's going to cause a reaction from you. And when you recognize, Lord, I need revival, the only thing you can do is cry out, Lord, revive me again. Lord, revive us again. What revival from? Let me get back to that. Revival from? What do we want revival from? Well, sometimes we make bad decisions that result in the mess that we find ourselves in. Anybody ever got yourself in a mess by your own decision and you had to pray and ask God to rescue? Listen, revival can come even in that situation. Glory to God for his grace and mercy. Let's move on from that point. But sometimes we need revival because we live in a fallen world. The consequences of living here in this place, it causes us to grow weary, hallelujah, to battle things and have trouble. Jesus even told us, in this world you will have tribulation. That's why we have revival. That's why we need revival, because we live in a world where there is trouble. As I've mentioned, there's a psalm here, Psalm 85 from the sons of Korah. Let me tell you why is that so significant. Well, the sons of Korah, their father Korah was a person who's very infamous in Scripture. He challenged Moses' authority. Remember, God had risen Moses. He gave Moses the Ten Commandments, had given Moses great authority and great anointing. And Moses and Aaron were the ones that were leading God's people out of Egypt. and they were leading God's people into the promised land, or trying to anyways. But Moses and Aaron had great authority and a great anointing. And Korah, he looked at Moses and Aaron. He said, you know, I don't really care for your attitude. You think you're better than everybody else. You hold this position of authority. Why do you get to be the leader and not some of us? How come you have all this responsibility, but we can't be the pastor alongside of you? How come we can't lead the people along with you? And Moses said, Korah, it's not for you. God has chosen us. You think I wanted this job? Praise the Lord. I did want this job. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I don't want you to think that. But Moses was chosen by the Lord. Aaron was anointed by the Lord. And they dealt with all the things that God's people were dealing with and struggling with on a daily basis. They came to Moses and Aaron needing help. And Korah said, we want to sit in those positions of authority. We want people to come to us and look at us the way we want that power. And so Moses said, all right, Korah, this is me paraphrasing. All right, Korah, this is what we're going to do. You and your posse, you come out here and you stand before us. And we're going to let God decide who's going to lead the people. And if the Lord should choose, he's going to open up the earth, and the earth is going to swallow the ones that he does not choose. And so they come out on that certain day, Korah and a few of the others that have decided that they want to be leaders. And sure enough, the Lord opens up the earth, and Korah and all his followers fall down into the deep abyss that is created in that moment. They are swallowed up by the earth. And let me tell you, everybody realized, don't mess with Moses that day. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know what? Korah's sons, Lord help me. Korah's sons, they could have walked through. Listen, what's amazing is they didn't stand by their father in the first place. But they could have walked through life having that hang over their head. We're just the sons of Korah. People always look down on us. People always think we're going to be like our dad. People always think we're going to be like our ancestors. People think that all that rebellion's going to come through us again. You know what? They could have sat on their hands and said, you know, we're just going to fall back and just kind of coast through. And we're just going to try to fade into a place where people don't recognize us. They could have let that moment of their father's failure define them. But instead of that, listen, they were in the midst of a fallen world, even in the midst of a fallen family. Yet the sons of Korah here in Psalm 85 say, God, send us a revival. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's a powerful thing, church, that God, hallelujah, will look down on us. And praise the Lord, if you call out to him for help, he doesn't say, well, hey, your father, because of what he did, because of what your mother did, because of the way you were raised, I can't send revival. No, they called for revival because they had seen God do it for them before. And they want God, listen, I know we live in a fallen world, and we're going to face the troubles and tribulations of this life. But church, we cannot allow the darkness and evil that is out there define who we are. Praise God. And become our, we cannot resign ourselves to the fact that evil is strong. And that's just the way it is. Listen, I know evil is strong and darkness a lot of times prevails. But the light, amen, and the truth wins in the end. Glory to God. So we still have a reason to cry out for revival. Maybe it's sickness or disease that you're battling that has you weighed down. Maybe even in the midst of the daily struggle, we get weary, we get tired. Our physical man gets depleted, and many times our spiritual man does as well. But even in the midst of all of that, church, we can have revival and be renewed in the day by day. So we recognize here in the midst of the mundane, when vision we lose sight of it and the dreams begin to die out. We lose sight of purpose from time to time. But that's when we need to cry out for revival. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? And finally, my third point, we want revival because we know, hallelujah, revival is possible, revival is probable, and revival is promised. We recognize our need. I need revival. Anybody with me? You need revival? I need revival. But we recognize, even though we're in need, we serve a God who has greater power, amen, who's able, hallelujah, to hear our cry. We know revival can't happen just like it used to happen. And we believe and anticipate that Jesus is coming back soon. We know that he could be coming back at any moment. And we know that before he comes back, this world will be a place of intense evil, apostasy among believers, a great falling away. But we also know that even though those negative things will happen, we are promised that in the last days, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And church, you can look at that from two separate angles. Oh yes, the bad things are going to happen. We might, let's just go home and just rise to that conclusion. Negative things are going to happen. Negative things are going to be there. I know they will, but there's a greater promise, hallelujah, that alongside of backslidings and apostasies and sicknesses and diseases, there can be an outpour of the Holy Spirit and revival can happen. So we cry out, God, revive us again. See, in the midst of our struggles, Psalm 138:7, I said I was going to preach 20 minutes. I'm at 18. Lord, help me. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, though I'm in the midst of the battle, though I'm in the middle of a bad situation, though I need a healing, and my body is sick, and my spirit is tired, and my mind keeps going to places I don't want it to go to, there I am in the midst of that. Yet David said in Psalm 138, in the midst of my trouble, you will revive me. Hallelujah. I love that. That means revival is possible, it's probable, and it is promised. I love the word from Ezra in Ezra 9:8. He said, now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God. He's left us a remnant to escape out of captivity. They were in captivity. He to give us a nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes. Listen, this is what he said, and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Woo, hallelujah. That means even though you might get tied up and bound up, the enemy might be fighting you, you can still have revival in the middle of that. There are a lot of things the devil would love to mount up against us, reasons why revival cannot happen. I wrote this sermon out before I even knew, hallelujah, all the things that were going to transpire to this afternoon and all the shuffling we were going to have to do. Probably it went through your mind. Oh, there goes revival. How are we going to have revival? Our guest speaker can't come. Listen, how many of you know God, amen, wants to send revival? No matter, we might have started revival on Sunday and Brother Lester not got to preach all week, praise the Lord, because we were having such a move of God. Church, listen, God is going to send revival because he promised us he would. Time has proven among the people of God that it's always possible and always probable because it has been a promise that he's made to us. When it looked hopeless, let me go back through history. I'm going to hurry here. When it looked hopeless in Egypt, God sent a revival. When Israel continued to fall away through the book of Judges, they cried to God and he sent a revival. When Goliath came out and caused the heart of all the people of God to fail and they thought, oh, this is going to be the end of the Israelites, God sent a man named David, hallelujah, who had a one-man revival, and he conquered the giant. Glory to God. Elijah prayed, and fire fell. Even in the midst of idolatry, revival happened. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish there in the bottom of the ocean. He found revival, praise the Lord, when he called out to the... Do you listen in tonight? Job, in the midst of suffering, when everything was taken away from him, even his wife said, curse God and die, Job still found revival in the midst of the darkest moments of his life. Jeremiah found revival in the darkness of the pit. Jesus found revival in the wilderness. Lazarus found revival in the tomb. The disciples found revival in the upper room. Paul and Silas found revival in the inner prison. And John found revival on the Isle of Patmos. I know that's old news. Those were saints, prophets, kings, apostles. But listen, revival is a promise that knows no limits. Martin Luther was a Catholic man who was serving in the Catholic Church. But there he was, realizing all of a sudden it was revealed to him by the Lord, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. And a reformation takes place in the middle of a cold, dead religion. God spoke truth. And revival happened. You can read about it through history. The 1700s, the 1800s, and way back in the 1900s. We see great awakenings. The Holy Spirit poured out. Reformations. Azusa Street. All pointing us to the fact that revival is possible and probable as a result of the promise. I know. That was a long time ago. Over 100 years ago, we can look at those things. Salvations, healing. Turning away from sin, indwellings of the Spirit, all happened in the greatest revivals in history. And I know it was a long time ago, but even in this time that we live in, you can go a few miles up the road to Columbus, Ohio, and there at Ohio State University, they're having revivals. Amen. Well, maybe you don't agree, but they are having revival. Football players are getting saved. Students are coming to Jesus. Many young men and women are getting baptized. What's taking place? God promised revival. A few years ago, was at Asbury College there, a Christian college. But they had a great revival that spread not just in one certain area, but all across the nation at college campuses. People were hungry for revival. And that's where we're at in this moment. We want revival. We've yet to see all that God has for his people. Oh, Lord. And many of you have experienced the overflowing outpour if our music could come tonight. Many of you have experienced the overflowing outpour that satisfied your hungry cries for revival. You've experienced great revivals in past seasons. Amen. Do you believe they can happen again? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe they can happen again? Yes. Hallelujah. I believe they can. And I believe they will. But I wonder, this is the question. Are you hungry for more? Are you hungry for revival? That's a good question. Do you want revival? Some of you senior saints, wave at me, senior saints. I got a few of you, praise the Lord. Some of you don't want to admit it, amen. Are you hungry for revival, senior saints? A revival that your kids and grandkids can see happen in their generation. Amen. We'll go down to the younger ones, teenagers. Wave at me, all you teenagers, youth, young people. Aaron, you can wave, it's okay. How about, and if you feel like a teenager, amen. Are you ready for revival to happen in this generation, in your generation? Just about every time we go out to eat, you sit down, the waiter or waitress takes care of you. They serve your plate. And as you come down to finishing your meal, they always ask one question. Did anybody save room for dessert? Anybody save room for dessert? Most of the time at the cruise table, we already know the answer is no. No, we don't pay for dessert, praise the Lord. You got anything free? It's got to be somebody's birthday. Don't ask that. That'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? But on special occasions, even if we're all full, we've already made arrangements. We make room, amen, for more. Hallelujah. I referenced this earlier, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, the first four verses, I'm not going to read them to you. But you find Hezekiah and Israel. Won't you stand with me? Hallelujah. We find Hezekiah and all Israel. They go through the nations there. And they start tearing down the groves, removing the idols, removing the negative things that have caused their backslidings and their falling away from the Lord. They start cutting down the trees that cover their places of worship where they've worshiped false gods and even places where they may have sacrificed children and different things. They remove those things out of their life because they want to come back, amen, to a place of revival and renewal. So they make room. They make room for revival. And you read about how Hezekiah sets the priests and the Levites up in order again to begin doing their work in the house of the Lord. In the history of that, they're doing some repair work and changing some things, but they don't wait for the house of God to get perfect. They want revival now, amen. They want revival right then. They need revival. And so they start making room and making sure that the priests and the Levites are all doing things in the proper order, the way the Word of God instructs them to. Then they reinstitute some of the orders of service that the people are supposed to partake in. And Hezekiah even recognizes some do it the wrong way, but he doesn't chide them and rebuke them. He understands they're sincere and they're seeking God. And they, listen, all of that, they're making room because they need God to move in a mighty way in their life. And church, at our church, this season that we're in, there have been some things that have transpired, no doubt, that are negative. And the enemy's trying to distract you and destroy you and steal you out of God's hand. But I want you to know, if you can for the next few moments make room for God to come in and enter in again. Hallelujah. If you can remove the distraction. Get alone with the Lord tonight and call out for revival. If you can prepare your heart, hallelujah. If you can prepare your heart, hallelujah. I'm sorry, I went over my time. I didn't mean to do it. Hallelujah. But I want you, I just want you to get it tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. You got to be hungry. You got to want it. And you got to ask God to give it. How do we make room for revival? Well, we get our agendas out of the way. We get our preconceived ideas out of the way. If there's any sin in your heart, you ask God to forgive you and cleanse you and get that out of the way. If there's any bitterness in your heart, you forgive that person and get that out of the way. There's a lot of things. Oh, but God can give you revival in the midst of it all. Hallelujah. Do you believe that tonight? I want you to come and pray. Wilt thou not revive us again? Find a place to pray. Amen. Spend some time in prayer. Lord, revive us again. Lord, I'm going to make room for you. I'm going to make room for you to move in my life, move in our service. Lord, I'm going to push things aside, distractions aside. I'm going to move it all out so you can move in. Your presence can move. Even in the midst, you will revive me. Jesus, I love you.
to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better, your way is better. And shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better, your way is better. And shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better, your way is better. Would you shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better, your way is better, and I will make whatever you want.